I want to pick back up on our series of biblical giving. I want you to dismiss anything you've ever heard about that, for the most part, and pretend like it's brand new to you. I was telling somebody the other day about the Bible, and they said, I'm going to read it this year. Several's told me that, and I said, that's wonderful. But I challenge them to do this. I've done this a few times. I promise you it'll help. Pick it up and start reading it again. Read it all the way through for the year, and read it like it's the first time you've ever read it. You'll be amazed at what the Holy Spirit will show you. All right, we want to continue this series, Biblical Giving. I want to say right up front that as I've stated in this, and it's been a while since we've been in this, and I'll review briefly in just a moment, that I'm not after your money, I'm after you to be blessed. Could I get an amen? And in the year 2003, I started noticing that there had to be, and I did what I just told you. I read the Bible that year as though I'd never read it before. And God just showed me some different things, and it began a process of showing me some things. So I'm going to tell you some things that I know experientially as well as scripturally. Well, in the year 2003, which that's 11 years now, a decade at least, a little better, I started noticing that there was patterns in the Bible of spiritual law. And spiritual law always works, always. And as I've stated in this study, if you've not been with us, that a universal law is a spiritual law that works. And it was given prior to the Mosaic law. Almost all the time when we hear about the law, we always think of the Mosaic law, which God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19 and 20. But spiritual law was given at creation. When God spoke this world into existence, He created certain laws, spiritual laws, that always work in every dispensation, to every race, and to anybody that learns them. And one of them is in the financial realm and the biblical giving realm. Now, if you've been with us, and I'm going to read some in a minute, find Genesis 8:22 if you want to read with me and follow along. Genesis 8:22. We're going to read several. But if you've been with us, we stated at the beginning of this series of studies that there's four basic biblical giving principles throughout the Scripture from Genesis 1 and then 1189 chapters later, Revelation 22. And they were tithing. And then the second law of biblical giving was the law of first fruits. We looked at that. And then the last time we looked at the giving, biblical giving principle of alms giving, which is basically to the less fortunate. And tonight we want to look at what we call seed faith giving or faith promise. Seed giving or faith promise. In Genesis 8:22 is one of those laws. This is after the flood. God says to Noah this, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That is spiritual as well as agriculturally physical. And we'll get into it in just a moment. In Ecclesiastes 11 and verse number 6, we come across something very similar. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. That's investment talk. To the New Testament, we go to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, where most people will be a little more familiar with this. I really just want you to listen with an open mind tonight. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart. You can't miss that phrase. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Go down to verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. That's what the Holy Spirit says through the pen of the Apostle Paul. I want to tell you how I came of knowing about faith promise giving. I understand that this church has faith promise missions from back a few years back. It was in the year 2006 in the spring. And there was a pastor in this area who was having a missions director come in and speak for a few nights on faith promise missions giving. Well, I had heard about it, but I didn't know a lot about it. And I like to learn. I love to learn. I love to learn. I'll learn from anybody. Now, that may offend some, but I'll learn from a child. I'll learn from a woman. It doesn't make any difference to me. If you can give me something that'll help me, I'll take it. But nonetheless, I went about three nights. It was like a four-night meeting. It went Sunday, I think, through Thursday or something of that nature. And I went. In fact, I took Preacher Smith with me one night. But I went and I listened. Some of it I was familiar with. Some of it I wasn't. But it kind of went like this. That faith promise giving was you made a vow to God or a promise. Basically, you went into a covenant. That you would give toward the mission program of that local church, or whichever one you as a part of, or outside the church in your own personal life, to some type of gospel ministry. And it was money that would not be in your regular income. It was money to be given that would not be part of your tithe or your regular offering to the local church. It was above and beyond that. And so the way this thing worked, according to this missions director, was that you would faith it out an amount and then faith it in. Because you can't really faith in anything you can't faith out. You'll have to think about that. But the concept was, say, for instance, you was going to vow to God, I'll give $600 toward missions in a 12-month period of time. And again, this is money that's not part of your normal income from your Social Security or your regular job. It's all extra. It's beyond that. And you don't know where it's coming from. But you make this vow to God, this faith promise. And say, for instance, if it was $50, that'd be $600 a year. So in that 12-month period, you could give $50 a month, or you could give two segments of $300, or however you wanted to do it. Six segments of $100, it didn't make any difference. Whenever and however God brought it to you, you took it and you didn't keep it for yourself. You gave it in return to the gospel ministry of some missionary or something. Faith promise. Made sense to me? So that was on a Thursday when that meeting ended. That Tuesday, I was with that pastor and we were going to a neighboring county. So we were driving for a pretty good while, 30, 40 minute ride. And he asked me, he said, what did you think about the faith promise concept? I said, I thought it was good. I think it's scriptural. But I said, I got one question. I said, why is it just for missions and missionaries and preachers? Why can't it be just for an average believer who has a need? And he said, well, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, think about it. If it's a biblical principle, why do you have to be a preacher to use it? Why do you have to be a missionary? I mean, if you as an individual had a need at your home, a financial need, why couldn't you trust God for it if it's a biblical principle? Just because you're not a preacher or a missionary doesn't necessarily mean that the principle won't work. He said, I never thought about it like that. I said, well, think about it. We ought to be able to tell everybody, hey, God knows how to meet your need. God knows how, if by you releasing your faith, He knows how to meet your need. You don't have to be a preacher for that. Just be a believer. And so that's how I came in contact with it. Let me give you a few introductory remarks. I found out that that word seed that we read in several places, beginning in Genesis 8:22, is the Hebrew word zera, Z-E-R-A. It means posterity of what you sow or plant or give. And it also has the idea of beginning. Everything begins with a seed. See, God's taking, and Jesus did the same thing, He's taking an agricultural illustration and using it for a spiritual lesson. Because it works in the physical as well as it does the spiritual. How many of you know that? It's a parallel. It's a parable. It's how God's teaching His people. And so that word means basically that word seed, beginning. Of what you sow. See, a farmer could have 50 acres full of a huge harvest of corn or whatever, wheat or whatever it is that he's farming. But it all started with just a handful of seeds. It's the beginning. And that's what that word means. So seed is anything that you can sow to get more of, or plant, or give. Let me read to you what Jesus said. This blows my mind that we'll believe John 3:16, Romans 8:28, the 23rd Psalm, and all of the Bibles inspired by God. But for some reason, when we come to the issues of giving and receiving, all of a sudden we don't believe those are inspired anymore. Notice what Jesus said. This is your Lord speaking. Luke 6:38, give. Give. And it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, shall it be measured to you again. In other words, whenever you get out, God's taking you at your word by faith. He's going to give it back in His own way. So we need to understand and believe that. So your seed is something that you already possess some of, and you're going to plant it, sow it, or give it. I'm going to give you something on that in just a moment, so don't let that terminology... Used to, when I'd hear the TV preachers use that terminology, I'd cut them off years ago. And God thumped me on the head a few times and showed me that there's truth in that. So your seed is anything, some money that you already possess, that you're giving, sowing, planting, so you can receive more of, so you can do what? Give more again. That's the key that you have to understand about this. Your seed is anything sown in your present that fashions and sculptures your future. Every harvest is future, even if it's tomorrow. Every crop is future, even if it's at midnight tonight. So your harvest is always in your future. Don't forget this principle. You control the giving of your seed, and God controls the harvest of your seed. You control the giving of it. You can hang on to it and take your chances. Or you can give it by faith and trust the Lord. And that's what I want for God's people. Is I want to see them, listen to me a minute. My wife and I have experimented with this and we have proven this. Is that not what God said in Malachi 3:10? You give, you bring it in the storehouse, you tithe, and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. It's a challenge. Prove me. We've done that. You can't talk us out of it. But you control whether you give it or not. And God's in control of how He gives it back. Don't worry about how He gives it back. You're doing this by faith anyway. Let Him handle that however He wants to. Let me illustrate. John 6, the first 14 verses. Jesus, it's always, now watch this now. Faith promise is always around the gospel being preached. And here's Jesus preaching the gospel about Himself in John 6. And here's what happens. Thousands of people have come to listen to Him preach and teach the gospel about Himself. And knowing that the people are going to depart and go home because they've been with Him there some time. You'll have to read it, the first 14 verses of John 6. And knowing that they're going to leave and go home because they're hungry or they're going to have to find provisions, He tells the disciples, you feed them. And they said, well, we don't have anything. He said, well, have everybody sit down. We'll all handle it. And in the midst of setting them down, one of the apostles comes up and says, the disciples comes up and they say, hey, we found a little kid here. And he's got a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And he relinquishes that to the disciples because he knows who they're going to give it to. They take it to Jesus. They get it in His hands. And you know the story. He multiplies it, feeds all of them, and then takes up several baskets full left over. Why? Because the principle there, you give what you've got, no matter how small it is. You sow it into the gospel preaching ministry. You give it to God Almighty. You give it to the Lord Jesus. And praise His name. He knows how to multiply it. And then you have the opportunity to turn back and give more. See, everyone in here tonight, if I'd have a show of hands, how many of you would like to give more to the gospel ministry in 2014 than you did 2013? Every hand would go up. There's principles to where you can do that. So, the seed is anything that you give that allows God to multiply it. And then I want you to notice this. This is what's called the law of Genesis. Go with me if you can, please, to Genesis 1. This is in the very beginning. And your seed always produces after its kind. Genesis 1 and verse number 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called seas, and God saw that it was good. Now notice verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind. Pay close attention to that phrase. Whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed. How? After its kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, again, after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Now follow the principle. You've got to follow this. Grass seed produces... y'all good. Tomato seed produces... watermelon seed produces. If you put grass seed in and a peach comes up, you got problems. So if everything produces after its kind in the physical, then it would stand to reason through spiritual law that it would produce after its kind in the spiritual. So let's do it again. Tomato seeds produce tomatoes. Grass seed produces grass. Watermelon seed produces watermelon seed. After its kind. After its kind. After its kind. So financial seed should produce financial seed. It is a principle of spiritual law that cannot be broken. And here's the beauty of it. Your God wants to bless you in that. And your Savior wants to bless you in that. Your key is to get it sown, planted, and given in the gospel ministry somewhere, and then by faith watch Him bless you abundantly so you can in turn start this cycle of being a vessel of financial blessing to give to people who's going to preach the gospel to places you can't go. You'll never go wrong in that, I'll promise you. So let me just say a few more things. God ordained that the church finance the gospel to the ends of the world. Let me say that again. God ordained that the church, which is made up of born-again believers, finance the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now here's the beauty of that. Did He have to? No. He didn't have to. But He wants His people to be blessed. So if He sits on His throne and He just takes care of all of it, which He has the power to do, He can take care of all. He could let it fall out of the sky if He chose to. He could do it any way He chose to. But so you and I as believers could be blessed, He's chosen to allow us to partnership with Him in the proclamation of the message of the gospel of His Son throughout this earth. So He ordained it. I want to give you three scriptures. I'm not going to read them all, but I am going to get into a couple of them. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. On the first day of the week, that Sunday, the believers were ordered, or at least instructed, to bring their offerings to the church on the first day of the week. Why? To take care of the needs right there in their church, local assembly, and also spread it out and give it out, especially to the Apostle Paul at this juncture in church history, so he could go and tell the message and not have to worry about... See, he had boat fares and he had food and he had supplies he needed. How many of y'all know it takes money to do about everything, and especially it takes money to get the gospel out? Radio time costs money. Running a van to pick folks up costs money. Listen, having this church so you can have a place to come and assemble together takes money. And He's blessed, He's set it up so you, the believer, can be blessed in being a part of that. Could He handle it on His own? Well, He didn't need no help creating everything. He wouldn't need no help in keeping everything going the way it's going. He could paint the walls from it by His throne in heaven. It's no big deal. But He's chosen to allow His people to get involved in that. I want you to notice this scripture. In Galatians 6, we always hear this, but nobody ever talks about the context. Galatians 6, verse 6, follow with me carefully. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What's he saying there? He's saying anybody that's teaching you the gospel, anybody that's teaching you the Bible, then you invest in them through faith promise or seed given or however you want to call it. It doesn't make any difference. The word communicate there, I promise you if you'll look it up, is no archaic word. It means to share or to support. Then he goes on verse 7. And we know this verse. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Go back to verse 6. What's he saying? He's saying, you who invest, you who plant, you who sow, you who give in the gospel ministry, God says, I'm not going to be deceived. I know who you are and I know what you give and I'm going to bless you. Amen. That's the context. He goes on verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Here's what he's saying. If you keep it to yourself and you sow, you give, and you plant all your money in yourself and you become selfish and indulgent with it, then you'll reap the corruption that only the flesh can give. How many of you know there is sin, there is pleasure in sin, but it don't last long? And that's what he's getting at. But in turn he says, but if you sow to the Spirit, if you put it in the spiritual realm. In other words, he's saying, if you'll put it in my possession, I know how to make it work, and I know how to make it work for you, and you'll reap in the Spirit. That's the context of Galatians 6. And he says that similar in verse 10. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. Take care of them, and God will take care of you. Then I want you to get this one. We know this scripture. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 15. Watch this, through 19. I want you to just get this. I'm going to hurry on now. We're going to get you done here in a minute. Philippians 4, verse 15, he states this. Now ye Philippians also know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. That's the same word in Galatians 6:6. No church communicated, shared, or supported with me as concerning giving, receiving, but ye only. In other words, he's saying you're the only local church that supported me when I first got started. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, the reason he mentions Thessalonica, that was the first church that Apostle Paul in his missionary journeys established. And he said, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessities. Notice the phrase there, once and again. In other words, they had put the Apostle Paul in their mission budget or in their financial giving because he preached the gospel. Notice verse 17. Now watch this. You got to get this. Paul says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound on your account. What in the world is he saying? Paul said, I don't want your money, but I want God to put fruit in your account. And he will, because you have invested in me, his apostle to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel. And he said, because you've done that, I don't want your money. I'm not after 401ks and all of those things and new cars and all that. He said, what I want is you to be blessed. And because you're doing that, God's going to take care of you for it. Notice verse 17, he says. Well, we've read that. Verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full of received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable. Watch it. Well-pleasing to God. It blessed God that they did that. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God and the salvation which Paul preached. It's not my personality. It's not our building. It's none of that. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And anybody that gets that out, it gets God's attention. So it well pleases Him. Now watch this here. We know this verse. Okay. Verse 17. He said, I want fruit to abound on you because of verse 16 and 15, you gave to me when I was in need and you gave to me to preach the gospel. It pleases God. Then he says this in verse 19, here's the promise to them who did that. But my God, shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. That's the prayer. It's so simple. He's saying, look, you give to the gospel ministry. You take care of the gospel, reaching the other. You partner with me through faith promise or seed giving or missions or whatever you want to call it. You partner with me in that, and I'll promise you, you'll never miss a meal and you'll never do without, because I will supply your needs according to my riches in glory. That's the context of Philippians 4. So, let's talk for a moment, and I'll be done in just a minute. The faith promise order. The faith promise order. We kind of seen through that what it is. Now let's look at the order of it. It won't take but a minute and we'll be done. First off, in the order of it, you must surrender the seed to God. You've got to give it in His possession. Now there's three words used, and I've been using them all night. And this throws a lot of people. But they're right here, and I'm going to give you the references, and you can look them up later. Plant, sow, and give. It's all a synonymous term. Plant. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Apollos watered, or I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Planted. And then the word sow. That's 2 Corinthians 9:6. We done read it. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, etc. And then the word give. We read that. Luke 6:38. Give. And it shall be given unto you. So what he's saying is this. The first thing you've got to do is get your hands off of it. Get it into gospel soil. Get it into divine circulation. And give God something to work with on your behalf so He can bless you. Is anybody listening to me tonight? If this stays with you. Feels pretty good right there. If it stays with you, it can't get you any more than what it can buy. That's all it can do. But when you get it in circulation in God's hands and get your hands off of it, then faith starts kicking in. And your faith is your union with God and how He's going to bless you for giving that. When you say, Lord, this is yours. I have designated that and set that aside for the proclamation of your Son's gospel, because there's places I can't go and there's people I can't witness to, and I'm putting this in your hand so you can get it to the people that need it, so they'll be supported and funded so they can get that gospel message out. And God on His throne, I'm going to tell you something, if you want to get God's attention, if you really want to get Him looking your way, you start giving to the cause of His Son, and He'll get involved in your life. And so, get it in circulation. Let me ask you right now. Right now, somewhere on the earth, is there any money you've planted, sown, or given for the proclamation of the gospel and for God to, in turn, bless you back so you can do it again? If it's not, then He don't have anything to work with on your account. My wife and I don't say this to boast, I'm saying it because I'm telling you, we know how it works. We've been talking about it for a while. And at the end of this month, we're going to give the largest seed, faith, promise, whatever, I don't care what terminology you put up, that we've ever given. And you say, well, are you expecting God to bless it? Yes! Why is it we would say that a farmer who had 50 acres of land, sowed two rows, and then griped because he didn't have a big harvest? Why do we think he's an idiot? But then when we get in the spiritual realm, and we'll say, well, why ain't God blessing me? And why is God not honoring this? And why am I doing without? And all these simple things. And God's sitting saying, you've not given me anything to work with. He wants to do it. And He will, if we'll just allow Him to. See, a farmer, say you went to a farmer in Alexander County or Iredell County or Wilkes County, where that's big, or down around the eastern part of the state. How many of you would think a farmer, if he told you this, if he was looking out on his field and saying, I just don't see nothing happening. God ain't blessing. And if you inquired and said, well, Mr. Farmer, what have you planted? And his reply was, well, I didn't plant nothing. wouldn't you be able to reason, well, why do you expect anything to come up? And we do the same thing in the spiritual realm. We give God nothing to work with, Christians, and I'm not saying that critically. I want you to be blessed. We don't give Him anything to work with. And then we say, well, I don't understand why. I'm not receiving. Well, it's because there's nothing out there. So the first thing is get it, surrender that seed to God. Get it out of your possession. Get it in circulation. And watch Him bless it. And then you must give, let me say this, you must give with a faith expectation. 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, you're to plow in hope, reap in, sow in hope, and reap in hope. I read a 176-page book yesterday on this subject. And this preacher was telling how, can you give me a few more minutes? He was telling me how his wife and him, they had a house, but it was too small. And they were going to sell this house, and with the profit they would make, they already had a buyer, they'd already picked out another house, and this was about 30 years ago, so it was an $80,000 house, probably the equivalent of $200,000 house today. And they're going to buy that $80,000 house. They sold their house with some money that they had been saving to put a good down payment on it because they wanted to be debt free in 5 years. And so they both started praying, and both of them came to each other and said, you know what? They had $42,000 to put down on that house. And they both said, you know, God's been speaking to my heart. And the wife said, well, He's been speaking to my heart that we are to give that to a certain minister that they knew was struggling, but it was a good work. And so they both agreed. And they wrote out a check for $42,000 and sent it to that ministry, believing by faith that God was going to honor that and take care of this situation. 1 month went by, nothing happened. 2 months went by, nothing happened. But at the beginning of that third month, from out of nowhere, within the next 2 weeks, $250,000 came into their possession. Here's what they did. They bought the $80,000 house, debt-free. Well, they're already living in it, but they paid for it, debt-free. They paid a couple more debts off, small debts, and ended up giving the rest of it back into the gospel ministry. And they started a cycle. See, what they were doing was they was taking their hands off of it, putting it in divine circulation, and letting God do something with it. And then the third thing we got to do, once we give it, then we have our faith connected to it. And then the third thing we have to do is wait and be patient for our harvest to come in. Now, listen, I'm about done. In that passage in Genesis 8:22, there was three things mentioned. Seed, time, and harvest. Seed is sowing, giving, or planting. Time is waiting. And that's the tough one. And then the third is the harvest is coming. And that's why your faith is connected to it. Faith, promise, giving. You don't let go of it as though you'll never see it again. You don't let go of it and say goodbye forever. You wrap that gift with your faith and you wait on God to bring it in. See, He may bring it in when you need it the most. A lot of times that's how He operates. Ecclesiastes 11:1 talks about the same thing. Cast your bread upon the waters and after many days it'll return to you. Ecclesiastes 3:2, same thing. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Let me just conclude. Faith promises believing God for money or finances to invest in the gospel ministry that you don't yet possess. You give what you've got. And then you relinquish the rest of it with Him by faith. To give to the gospel message. And then faith, promise, or seed given is what you do. That you have expectation to receive more so you can in turn give more. And then faith, promise is and I can't emphasize this enough, it's a lifestyle and not just a crisis action. Here's what a lot of folks do. Been guilty of it myself. You get in a crunch, and you hear something like this, and you want to give something and expect it to come in tomorrow. But that's not a lifestyle. Listen to me, don't miss this. You're going to be gone just a minute. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. It's not just an emergency code that we try to inject when we have a need arise. Years ago, a loved one of mine was laying in a hospital bed with a certain person, and they were dying. They didn't give them much chance to live, and she didn't understand why God wasn't raising them up off the bed and healing them. And I didn't say nothing to her. But the thing of it was her faith was dormant. She never walked with God. She never lived for God. But now all of a sudden, when a crisis hits, boom, that's where a lot of people miss it. This is a lifestyle. I can't emphasize enough to challenge you to do some of this and prove it in your own life. I'm telling you, it works. And then this faith promises God's means of allowing His people to finance His Son's gospel. You are partnershipping with God. Let me just say it again because I'm done. He does not need our money. He does not need our obedience. But if you think about it, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, God only has one need throughout the Bible that we know of. It's not money. It's not necessarily obedience. His sovereign will is going to be accomplished whether we obey and comply or not. His only need is for His people to believe Him. That's His only need. When the Hebrew children wandered in the wilderness, most of them had to die out because of unbelief, the Hebrew writer said. The psalmist said that they limited the Holy One of Israel through their unbelief. Jesus in His hometown said, I could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Somebody I know here a couple of years ago that's always struggling. Always, financially. Always struggling. And somebody had given them a little bit of money. I think it was $200. And I told my wife, I said, the first thing they need to do, and I know they won't do it if they follow the pattern that they're all, I said, they need to find somebody that they can invest some of that in. Because here's what happened with that $200. The only thing it could purchase was $200 worth of whatever this world afforded them. But once you poured it in God's hands, it'll multiply, it'll grow. He'll use it and He'll say, I got confidence and trust in this child. And because they're given to my son's message of atonement and love and mercy, I'm going to bless their socks off because I know if I do, they're going to give some back in return and this is going to be a lifestyle cycle. You can't talk me and my wife out of it. We know. Now you say, preacher, did you have to put it to the test? Well, sure I did. And I'm telling you to do the same thing. And it'll work. It'll work for you. It may not even come in the means of money. It might come some other way. I was down in, when we were in Salisbury, and I was practicing this stuff, and that boy of mine played ball down there, Joseph back there, and there was a certain bat that he wanted, and they were letting him borrow it. He always swung a pretty heavy bat. I got to hurry, but it was a used bat, and the guy won $50 for it, and I wouldn't pay that. And so I get up one Saturday morning, and I go in this little store, and for some odd reason, they got a little thing of bats there, baseball bats. And I'm looking at them, and I picked this little thing up. It wasn't nothing. But I knew some of them guys on his team would like it, and that coach, and I said, what do you take for this? $2. I said, I think I can do that. So I gave him $2 for it. I went back over there to the guy that had the bat he won. I said, what can we trade with this? And he said, we'll trade even. Don't think I'm boasting. Will you just not think I'm boasted, dadgummit? But I'm trying to show you this stuff works. Because God loves you and God wants to bless you. but you got to work with him. We gave somebody quite a bit of money here a few weeks back, and you wouldn't have believed what come in just a few weeks later that we wasn't expecting. That preacher, you're bragging. I don't care what you say. I'm telling you, if you'll give him something to work with, give him something to work with on your behalf and get it in divine supernatural circulation, he'll bless your socks off. And you'll be able to write a check for $300 to help a missionary. And you'll be able to write and give to somebody that you know is in need. And you'll be able to help those who are proclaiming the gospel where you can't go. Let's stand. Father, please let my people know that I am not trying to get anything from them personally. That I am showing them through your scripture, throughout the Bible, a spiritual law that you set up at the very dawn of man. And Lord, I want to convey the message that if they'll let go of something they can't keep anyway, put it in your circulation, put it in your hand, as the little boy did with the fishes and the loaves, that you'll multiply it. And all of the people that their investment, their planting, their seed, their sowing, their giving can bless throughout the earth. And oh, how you get involved with your children on earth when they get involved with your will in heaven. And how you love to give. You can't help it. You just love to give. But if we don't give you something to work with, in some senses of the word, outside of basic necessity, you hold back. So I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help us all as we begin a new year to sow, plant, give for the furtherance of the kingdom, because this money ain't going to do us no good when we get to heaven anyway. The only time it can be invested is now. The only time it can be planted is now. The only time it can be given is now. So help us, Lord, to realize by faith you have much more to take care of our needs. We don't have to worry about it. None of your seeds ever been found starving or begging bread when they've been obedient to you. So help us to have an obedient spirit. Trust you by faith. In Jesus' name.